Proverbs for the day, July the 6th, Proverbs chapter 6. And today we're going to pick it up in verses 16. We're going to read verses 16 to 19 and do a part one of this. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, if God hates something, and I'm a believer, a follower of the Lord, then I want to know what it is that he hates. I would want to know what it is that he hates to avoid it in my life. I would want to know what he hates so that I would not side with it in my life or someone else's. Now, the Lord has the only true, pure view of life on earth. So what we need is we need to get it. You know, get it. Get God's view. And we need that new look from the old book. We need the new look from God's Word. And so when we come to God, what we do is we come to Him and we say, Lord, teach us what to love. Teach us what to hate. Teach us what to allow in our life. Teach us what to not allow in our life. Teach us how to deal with others. And here he gives us a list of six things he hates, yea, seven are abomination. Now, someone might say, is the seventh one the abomination, or the seven complete it and they're abominations? And you could look at it either way if you really wanted to. When you look at it in other contexts of other passages, these seven things are very offensive to God. We're only going to look at two, and obviously briefly, because these are just devotional days. But we'll look at the first two. We'll look at a proud look and a lying tongue. Now, this thing of a proud look is something you can see daily. If you're not just completely housebound, if you get out around any place where there's work being done or people are doing work, or if you just pull up to an intersection, someone's crossing the street on foot, a pedestrian, or you drive by a high school, or nowadays if you just drive by a grade school, you will probably see a proud look. In Proverbs 21, verse 4, he says, "An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." And the Lord says here that one of the things he hates is a proud look. Everybody has different things that trigger their thinking. But I'll be honest with you, one of the things that comes to my mind when I think of this proud look right now in 2012 is I think of these of sports a lot, of athletes. Think of things like the NFL and the NBA and all that. There's something about how it has degenerated and man has been lifted up to the point that it is a proud look that is the standard. You know, in Romans chapter 1, one of the things he says that marked the degradation of man is, it says in 1:30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. Proud. And here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, he goes a little bit beyond that, really, and he talks about a proud look. It's a posture. It's a countenance. You see it in athletics and business. You see it in politics. It's like the countenance of the ultimate lifting up of self. You see young people today, and they carry themselves with it. And you can say what you will. Yes, it's always been around because this was written approximately 1,000 years before our Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth. But the youth of today have taken it to a higher level than it has been for the most part in ages gone past. And they carry themselves with a proud look. Music promotes it. Music has that posture and that attitude and those words. So-called civil rights has promoted it. You see, we don't want to pursue false humility or feigned humility. That's not something a Christian takes part in. But at the same time, what we should do is we should obviously, since God hates it, we should avoid a proud look. So there must be a look, a posture, a countenance, the way of carrying oneself, the way of expressing in their facial expressions. You know, it's amazing sometimes when you think about how thoroughly God says stuff. Example, Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, as I said, today we're looking at a proud looking lying tongue. So Psalm 40 verse 4 nails both of it right there. We should avoid that strut, that stern face, that self-righteous thinking. Doesn't mean you go around with a clown smile slapped on your face all the time. I understand that. I couldn't wear that for sure. But the idea is a proud look. A proud look. One that takes itself way too seriously as far as your value and how much you are valuable to God or how much you have accomplished yourself. So notice he said that one of the things he hates is a proud look. And we should guard against that. It's very easy for children to get that look. They copy it from others. We have to, as parents, be careful what sort of influences they're around and what they're going to catch from them. All right, proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue. How about that? A proud look and a lying tongue. Now, what we want to understand here is that the Lord will not tolerate that lying tongue. For example, he says in Revelation 22:15, "For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." The Bible teaches us expressly that God cannot lie. So truth is the standard. Okay? God cannot lie. Truth is the standard. Someone says, "Oh, well, you know, I found an error in the Bible." Well, now, number one, if you're not going to find a genuine error. You might find what someone's trying to twist it up and all that sort of thing. And many of you believers have been taught how to deal with that. But our Bible tells us in Titus 1 verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." So when he made a promise, he can't lie about it. Truth is the standard. Truth is the standard. In Colossians chapter 3, here's what he said. You ready? Verse 9. "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." Now, there is an alternative to lying, and it is also an alternative to just being a blabbermouth or being offensive needlessly and thinking, "Well, I'm going to tell the truth about everything." That alternative is called silence. Yeah, it's actually okay to just refrain. You don't have to lie, but you don't have to pour out everything you think is true at one time. So when in doubt, do what? Try silence when in doubt. He says in James 3:14, "But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." As a fellow said, I wouldn't go giving people a piece of your mind. You might not be able to spare it. And so, you know, it's important for us to realize that we're not going to lie. We don't lie. We speak the truth one with another. You say, "Well, the truth always hurts." Well, sometimes you don't have to hurt. You can just be quiet. But what we do have to understand is that God Himself hates lying. He hates lying. Okay? God Himself. Psalm 31, verse 18. "Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Notice again, those two go hand in hand. We find them together quite often. Our Bible, he mentions it again here in Psalms, over in Psalm 120, verses 2 to 4. Ready? "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper." In other words, he said God will pay you back for it. Now, a false impression is a lie. You can make a note of it in your mind, but we think of two people in the book of Acts, chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, and they gave a false impression. They lied. And they wanted to give the impression that they had given it all up, and they didn't. And what we find here is that he says to them, Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? They didn't have to give it. Whilst it remained, he says, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Misleading is a lie. Correcting the Bible is a lie. When someone gets up and says, the Greek says, that's a lie. That's a lie. You can say that you read something in a Greek manuscript or a Greek some Greek on a piece of paper. So understand that he hates. The Lord hates a proud look. We gotta avoid that. We gotta help our young people not get that look. He also hates a lying tongue. So there's a look that he hates, and there's a lying tongue that he hates. And we can all benefit from being more fully aware that we don't offend the Lord, especially in the person of the Holy Ghost, by violating these two things.